Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
The Telegraph. The Telegraph. Podcasts.
The new tier system brings winners and losers. We're looking into why the hospitality sector feels unfairly targeted. This is Coronavirus, the latest from The Telegraph. I'm Theodora Laloudis. It's beginning to look a lot like Christmas, but only for some parts of the economy. December the 3rd is a crucial date for businesses allowed to reopen after the national lockdown ends, and for those which aren't. We now know what the new tier system will look like, but we're waiting to find out which area will be in which tier. That news will likely come on Thursday, but Whitehall sources have told The Telegraph only very few, mostly rural areas, will be in Tier 1, which is the only tier where indoor mixing with other households is allowed. That means that most places will open in the new Tier 2, where shops, gyms, cinemas and indoor entertainment can open, but pubs and restaurants can only serve alcohol with a substantial meal. Or the new Tier 3, where, once again, shops, gyms, cinemas and indoor entertainment can open, but pubs and restaurants can only serve takeaway. Asked why retail's allowed to open when pubs and restaurants will be subject to stricter rules, the Transport Secretary Grant Shapps had this to say.
It is, you know, not very enjoyable, but of course possible to go about your life without visiting the pub. And so we have had to make choices, and I'm afraid that's been the case all the way through this. Education is another very obvious example. It is a choice that we want to keep kids in school, that we want to be able to keep universities open, and though some things have to come before others in this overall effort.
But the hospitality industry, which employs 10% of the UK workforce, isn't happy. Shortly after the announcement of the new system, Kate Nichols, chief executive of UK Hospitality, which represents more than 700 UK businesses, swiftly said the news was far worse than anyone could have anticipated. Earlier, I gave her a call to ask why.
Large parts of the economy will be opened up, far more than were open before we went into the national lockdown. Some parts of the economy that had been closed for public health reasons for a long time, now reopening ahead of hospitality. And it does seem as though the sector is paying a very heavy price to keep the rest of the economy open and to allow people to celebrate Christmas. So talking to lots of the operators, they are devastated. They fear for their business viability, and there is a very anxious period ahead where they are unsure whether they'll be able to maintain jobs and keep their businesses afloat.
MPs who are making these decisions, I suppose, would say that this is a necessary evil and that contact has to be limited in some way. In October, the business minister, Nadeem Zahawi, said that one third of all coronavirus infections were happening in pubs and restaurants. And he said that that figure comes from evidence shared by England's chief medical officer, Chris Whitty, with a group of Northern MPs. Because hospitality is an area where people gather and often sitting inside, talking with raised voices, which we know can be a risk factor. To what extent do you understand that there is going to have to be an industry that does bear the brunt in the new tier system if we are to limit social contact?
We do understand why we need to have measures in place to control the virus. I think we would question why hospitality alone has been singled out when other areas of the economy, other areas of everyday life are equally responsible for transmission and have an equal amount of exposure. So I think it's the singling out that is felt to be particularly unfair, and the fact that there is no recognition of the high cost that these businesses will face in the form of additional financial support to get them through what will be a very, very difficult 3-month period. Just going back to the point about evidence, the problem is there has never been any clear evidence published to show that hospitality is the cause of infections. There's been a lot of evidence around exposure and places that people had been prior to testing positive. That's not the same as where they caught it or where transmission takes place. It was very limited evidence. What has been published has been shown to be quite lacking in detail, quite lacking in robustness. And as I say, just shows that people who are more active, more out and about in their lives are more likely to come into contact and test positive. So I think that lack of evidence about hospitality being a source and a cause of infection, we understand entirely that steps are needing to be taken, that there are additional risks associated with hospitality. We worked really carefully with Public Health England, the chief medical officers, BEIs and relevant departments in July to put in place the most robust COVID secure protocols to keep our customers and staff safe ahead of reopening in July. So we have social distancing, which reduces our capacity by 30 to 50%, depending on the venue. You have regular hygiene and sanitation requirements. You have ventilation requirements, queuing requirements, table service only, remote ordering and remote payment, so there's no contact between the staff. You know, there's a whole lot of measures. And when we reopened, 2 households only indoors and a rule of 6 outdoors. So we've put in place all of the controls you could possibly ask for and invested millions of pounds to do it. And in actual fact, when you talk to the general public, we did a YouGov poll recently, 70% of them think that hospitality is one of the easiest venues to be able to socially distance in. They are reassured by the fact that staff manage and monitor where they're socially distancing. The environment where they feel that the least ability to social distance, the greatest area of concern, supermarkets and retail, who don't have any of those control measures in place. And the stats also bear it out. You know, 60 million customer visits a week, less than 0.5% of our staff have tested positive for COVID. And in terms of the NHS test and trace, the Public Health England's own data shows that less than 2% of infections where there's been an outbreak, a clearly identified outbreak attributable to that venue, less than 2% come from hospitality. The bulk of it comes in people's own homes. And that's the real fear. If you close down hospitality, people will still socialise, particularly over Christmas, but they'll do it in illegal parties, they'll do it in their own homes, and they'll do it in the community.
That is, of course, one of the great fears, that if you push people out of one environment, they'll just move into another. And actually, that's a problem that affected the hospitality industry indirectly. When the government put in place one of their first measures for pubs and restaurants and bars, which was the 10 p.m. curfew, the 10 p.m. closing time, which meant that people were leaving hospitality venues at exactly the same time often and crowding either on the streets or on public transport instead. Now, that 10 p.m. curfew, that is set to be extended to 11 p.m. with last orders at 10 from December the 2nd. Is that a move you welcome?
We do welcome that. That's a pragmatic and sensible step to make sure that you can disperse crowds safely. So the benefit to the curfew is also felt by restaurants. It means they can get an extra sitting in because previously their last orders were 8:15 in order to get people out by 10 o'clock. However, a curfew extension only matters if you're open and able to trade, and the offset in tier 2 and tier 3 of being closed and takeaway only in tier 3, or only able to go to the pub if you're having a substantial table meal, that kind of nullifies the impact and the benefit of a curfew. So overall, hospitality net loser despite that benefit of a curfew. Crucially, that's going to depend on what we hear on Thursday and which parts of the country go into which tiers.
Now, in August, it did seem as if the government had hospitality at the top of their priority list with the Eat Out Help Out scheme. What do you think changed?
I think that the decision was taken to keep schools and education open and to prioritise those parts of the economy, and hospitality was scapegoated. I think, you know, that's a word that I don't use lightly, but that's how it feels. Hospitality had those restrictions put in place in order to keep schools and education open, that the high rates, the spikes that we saw, were not down to hospitality. They were down to schools and education. And I think we do need to dissociate the spikes from the restrictions that have been put in place. And I think since then, it's clear that the health department does not want hospitality to be open in the run-up to Christmas. And it's as simple as that. I think government needs to revert back to the approach it had in August, because otherwise we won't have as quick and easier recovery. If you look at the August GDP figures, they were almost entirely driven by eating and drinking out and hospitality. They were pretty anemic, 2% growth, but it was almost all coming from our sector. If you go back to 2019, we were the only sector of the economy that was forecast to grow 5% year on year. And we were set to generate 1 in 6 of net new jobs. And we invest 4% of our annual turnover in capex. And we generate £40 billion a year for the Treasury in tax. Put simply, the government, the economy, cannot afford to let us fail over Christmas. Otherwise, it will be a long hangover for the whole of the economy and we will take longer to recover.
The rest of the coronavirus latest news. Up to 3 households will be allowed to meet indoors from the 23rd to the 27th of December. The temporary easing of restrictions has been agreed by all 4 nations of the UK. But ministers have already warned that relaxing the rules isn't without risk. Boris Johnson said on Monday that Christmas is the season to be jolly careful. The number of weekly registered deaths involving COVID-19 is the highest since May, according to the Office for National Statistics. 2,466 deaths involving coronavirus were registered in England and Wales in the week ending the 13th of November. That's the highest number since the week ending May the 22nd, and a rise of 27% on the previous week. More than 71,000 people have now died within 28 days of a positive coronavirus test in the UK. Quarantine for people arriving in England from high-risk countries is to be cut from 14 days to 5, as long as the person receives a negative coronavirus test. Transport Secretary Grant Shapps confirmed the move, which applies from the 14th of November. He says he wants to see any quarantine replaced by daily testing in the new year. If you'd like to read more on any of those stories, head to the episode description, where I'll put links to articles with the full details, as well as another piece I think you're going to find interesting. Our science editor, Sarah Napton, and our health editor, Laura Donnelly, have written an article on how an error in the Oxford vaccine trials meant scientists discovered a way to boost efficacy from 70% to 90%. It really brings new meaning to the term trial and error. And if you're not already a Telegraph subscriber, head first to telegraph.co.uk/audio, where you can make lockdown 2.0 pass a little quicker by claiming your free case of wine when you subscribe to The Telegraph. And if you sign up before Friday, you'll get 20% off your subscription too. Finally, if there's a topic you'd like one of our journalists to cover, or a question that's been on your mind about the coronavirus, record yourself on your phone and send the voice memo to coronaviruspodcast@telegraph.co.uk, or just type it in an email. This is Coronavirus, the latest from The Telegraph. I'm Theodora Laloudis.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. Invesco QQQ is proud to sponsor this episode, and even prouder to provide access to innovation for the last 25 years. Basketball has had innovations over the years, too. We're seeing the game played in new ways every day. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.